You're listening to the Discover You Life podcast. Through conversations with pretty cool Muslims, people of Dua, of Ihsan, people who found a way to walk their dreams with Islamic excellence, we take you on a path of discovery. This is the podcast where you discover you.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wasalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ma wala amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nobody knows me. So in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, when I teach an Al-Maghrib course, and in that Al-Maghrib course on the history of the Khulafa, there's a section on the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah. And in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, I usually tell people, like, look, once we start this Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, once I start explaining it, there's going to be no break. We're going to go for like 2.5 hours straight, because once you start the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, it cannot be stopped. It's an intense battle, one of my favorite learning about it and teaching it. But something beautiful about the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah is this. Umar radiallahu anhu, how they got information about battles was that a messenger would come like Pony Express style. So there's stations from, you know, from Iraq to Medina, and riders would travel, sprint, and then they would give the message to another person who was in the sprint location, another person's sprint location, and that's how messages would arrive and would travel through the desert, through the lands, until it would reach the Khalifa who was living in Medina. Now, as Umar radiallahu anhu was in Medina, they wait on the outskirts of the city, like you heard about in the story of when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. Umar radiallahu anhu is waiting it. I won't go into the details. There's actually so many beautiful things about the story. But when this messenger arrived to Umar radiallahu anhu and he started explaining, what Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, wanted to know was, who was killed in the battle? Who was killed shaheed in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah? And so this man would mention the name of, you know, such and such a person, companions and tabi'in, and everybody would pray for them. And he'd mention somebody else and everybody would pray for them. And he'd mention a third person. He said everybody would pray for them. And then he got to the end, the messenger got to the end of the people that he knew who had died or killed shaheed in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah. And then he made this statement. He said, "Wa khalqun la na'lamuhum." And he said, and so many people, we don't know who they are. Just look at that statement. So beautiful. He said, and so many people, we don't know who they are. And Umar radiallahu anhu started crying. And he said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُهُمْ. But rather, Allah knows who they are. Allah knows who they are. So the title of today's reminder today is... The title of today is like, nobody knows me. During this isolation, I've seen this a lot, and obviously I've felt the feelings myself, is you want to make a difference, right? You want to help people, you want to make a difference. Alhamdulillah, calamity brings, it's almost like we're built in. There's, of course, the nature of the hoarding and the selfishness. That's that. But also in our creation is the desire to help. One of the first Facebook Lives I said here was, there are two types of people, those who run away when something hard hits and those who run towards, and such as, you know, the nurses and essential workers and people in the healthcare. So they run towards the situation when other people are going home. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. So if you have that feeling that, hey, I want to make a difference, I want to help, but nobody knows me, this session is for you. So first off, when we look at the lives of the righteous people, they didn't necessarily have fancy houses. They didn't necessarily have fancy cars or, you know, riding beasts. And they're not necessarily gorgeous. They don't have gorgeous physical beauty. Now, these things in times we're living at, these tend to be things where somebody becomes popular, right? Somebody has gorgeous physical beauty and then they're everywhere online. Or they have fancy cars, houses, and money, and they're everywhere online. But if you look at the lives of the righteous people, They didn't have these things in so many, like I give the example in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, so many, nobody even knows who they are, yet they won the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, which was pivotal to the spread of Islam around the world, and only Allah knows who they are. So they changed, so even though nobody knew them, even though they didn't have an Instagram account, even though they didn't have a lot of followers, even though they weren't spending their days on TikTok and stuff like that, but they changed the course of mankind and they made a difference. And many of you are Muslim today because of these unknown people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from them. So I wanted to remind you guys today about being thankful for whatever you have and to be content. So you don't necessarily have to make a difference by being a billionaire and all of these things. So let's look at the prophets, alayhim as-salam. The prophets were all shepherds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min nabiyyin illa wara'a al-ghanam." He said there wasn't a prophet except that though that prophet herded sheep, was a shepherd. And they said, "Even you, O Messenger of Allah," he said, "Even me." And so this is one of the most basic jobs that people would have, is they just walk out with sheep and walk back home. And all the prophets of Allah, this was their job. You have prophets such as Dawood alayhi salam, who was a blacksmith. And even as I was preparing this, I thought to myself, what if I needed a sword and I went to a store and Prophet Dawood is the one making the sword or making the tool. Zakariya alayhi salam was a carpenter. Imagine that, you know, you want some nice clothes. I was going to say for Eid, but and the person making the clothes is Zakariya alayhi salam. Zakariya was, did I say carpenter? Yes. Carpenter, he's making something. You need furniture, a place to sit or something like that. Idris alayhi salam was a tailor. And you need nice clothes and you would go to a prophet of Allah and that was their job. So they had basic jobs. And if you were to visit their homes, I would think you would find that they were very simple. And it's even the woman who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised her to be patient, and she responded in kind of a harsh tone. She went to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said it was a simple home and there was nobody outside guarding it. And that's the home of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, "Salamun alaykum bima sabartum." When people enter paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Peace be upon you because you were patient." Because of your patience, that the person is always looking for the hereafter. And it's not about, hey, I need all these followers, I need everybody to, you know, all this significance and all of these things. Just focused on being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appreciative for what you have, and make a difference in what you're able to make a difference from, whether people know you or they don't know you. So I wanted to do a little activity with you right now. And I got this idea for this activity from when we did our Time to Thrive Summit on mental health. And Sister Manahil was talking about getting grounded. When a person starts to feel anxious, one of the ways to calm that anxiousness down is getting grounded, but really it's about being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciating what is right here, right now in front of you. So we're going to do this little activity. So if you want to, this is how the activity goes. Your five senses, see, hear, touch, smell, taste. You're going to look around your room right now, wherever you are, and we're going to start with see, something that you see. So I want you to look around your room right now, wherever you are, and see two things that you can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Look around your room, get grounded with me. Look around your room, find two things that you could be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. All right, cool. One of the things that I saw was I got this really cool microphone that I don't use for these Facebook Lives. And I'm like, man, I'm so glad I have that microphone. And the second thing I saw was the technology to be able to connect with all of you all around the world. Pretty cool. The next thing that you want to do to get grounded and calm your anxiety right now is two things that you hear that you can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. two things that you hear that you can be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yes, Samira posted, I see my husband and my children. You're welcome to comment if you want to, the two things that you see or two things that you hear. Right now we're doing hearing. What are two things that you hear? And listen. All right, cool. So two things that I can hear that I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, I can hear children playing in the background, and I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those children. And I can hear the fan, one of the fans near to me, ventilating the air. And alhamdulillah that, you know, I don't have to open a window, but there's a fan that does this. Okay. So now getting grounded, calming it down, calming down, breathing in. What are two things that you can touch that you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? What are two things that you can touch that you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So two things I can touch that make me feel thankful. Number one is actually touching my skin. So my hand on my skin and I'm like, oh, that's so smooth, mashallah. Feels nice. And the second thing I can touch is the plastic of my cup. So I can drink water, alhamdulillah. Okay, this next one, which normally people associate with gross, but what are two things that you can smell that you are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? What are two things that you can smell that you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All right, so two things I could smell. I could smell soap, nice, from all that hand washing, the nice almond butter type of smell. And the other thing that I can smell that's, Patricia said she can smell fresh air. I can't smell fresh air because the windows are closed. And the second thing that I can smell is the coils of my microphone, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, y'all have good food, inshallah ta'ala, please share. Taste. So the last one, two things that you can be thankful for with regards to taste. Now, I'm not necessarily telling you put it in your mouth right now. Some of you might have some water or tea or something like that. But if you can get just one, that would be great. Two things that you can taste that you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for me, obviously, it's the taste of water that I just tasted. And you know what I have right here? You know what this is? This is, I think, I don't know, it's like crushed pepper. Put that on the food, mix it with a little lime and salt, and it tastes really good. Takes food to the next level. So I didn't taste it right now, but inshallah ta'ala, later I will use it. Alhamdulillah. So how are you feeling? How was that? So as we did these things and you started seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, you may have forgot all your worries during those times, during these few moments, getting grounded, the anxiety, you didn't think about it, but it went away for a few moments because you were in the present and you were looking at the things and hearing the things and smelling the things that are available to you right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and you are rich and you are blessed when you are thankful to Allah azza wa jalla. And with that, we have concluded. I would like to answer one question from somebody way up high. Sister Yasmina wanted to know about ventilators. I probably don't even know the answer to that, but I will try. I'll have to scroll up to find it. You know, for the people who said that they can hear birds, I love that. I love that sound because I actually live in an apartment high up. And the windows are like permanently sealed, so I don't hear birds. So if I'm ever on a Zoom call and somebody on the call has birds in the background, I'm like, I forget what the person is saying and I just listen to the birds. And I'm like, I hope they're thankful that they can hear birds in the background because it's such a beautiful sound. This question is from Yasmina. My question is about asthma and fasting. Can I fast while taking Ventolin or other similar pumps? I don't know what Ventolin is, and I don't know what a similar pump is because I don't know what Ventolin is. Wallah, I assume you're talking about the inhaler. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. Generally speaking, what breaks fast is, something breaks fast is when liquid goes down your throat. And there are parts of the body that are intended for food, such as the mouth. So if somebody puts something in their mouth, such as a liquid that goes down, then it breaks fast. Now, I'm just telling you in general. I'm not telling you if there's a certain criteria for this or not. I'd like to refer you to, there's web pages on fiqh fasting and fatwas, and it's definitely like kind of like a fatwa type of question. But generally speaking, liquid that goes down your throat, it can be considered breaking fast a lot. But that's not the conclusion to your question. I would still like you to look it up. Maybe I'll try looking it up as well. I'll do it together. All right, guys, I'm done. I knew, Nabila, the follow-up question was that, can you use toothpaste during Ramadan? The answer is yes, you can use toothpaste. There is a fatwa about that. Toothpaste, you're brushing your teeth. You're not trying to eat the toothpaste. And when you're not trying to eat the toothpaste, and if you spit it out and some kind of like liquid unintentionally goes down, inshallah ta'ala, it's okay. Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah used to say it was okay because the Prophet ﷺ used to use miswak while fasting, and it's okay to use miswak. And miswak also brings taste into the saliva and brings it down the throat. But if that's not the intention, you're just trying to like brush the outside of your teeth, then it's okay. Generally speaking, though, if you're going to use toothpaste in Ramadan, just don't pile it up. Just a little nukta, a little dab of toothpaste, and you're good. All right, guys. Assalamu alaikum. Sakala khairan. So it was, anyways, the score is 2-2 now. And the answer to the riddle, if you see it afterwards, is gravity. The answer is gravity. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.